Did I pop it?
I think so. So go ahead, serenade me, my friend.
No, I think I broke it.
Maybe. All right. Hey, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Johnny.
This is episode 57. We're closing in on your 1 year anniversary.
Are we?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Closing in. In a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
So, actually, whatever. November.
It should be written on the board.
I will write it on the big board. Johnny's anniversary, whatever date.
Jeez.
So, anyway, hey, so today we are going to talk.
Appreciate it.
We're going to talk about Avatar: The Last Airbender.
But yeah.
Before we do that,
excuse me.
I started creating a Patreon page for our account or for our podcast.
Oh yeah.
And what I wanted to know is from you guys, what would be like cool things to get? Like what like tiered things would you like? We got a bunch of buttons and stickers and magnets recently. T-shirts, you know, like what would you guys like to kind of help show your support for us?
Autograph
and then
photos.
How could we show our support for you? Yeah, so if you could just email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com, that would be awesome. And in the near future, we may or may not have a Patreon page. I don't know. I just signed up to see what it would look like.
Okay.
So, all right. So we are going to talk about Avatar: The Last Airbender. We have three quick things to talk about in the news. And yeah, anything else happening this week? Good week?
It's okay.
This has been the best part of my week in the first 1 minute and 55 seconds of doing this.
I guess if you start the week last Saturday, I had a pretty good week.
Yeah, you did some serious comic book hunting.
I shouldn't leave my house. I spend money when I leave my house.
Yeah, that happens.
I found the first appearance of Boba Fett in comic books for $10.
That is pretty awesome.
Well, it's like a $65 book. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, found it for $10 because it has writing on the back.
Yeah, that's
cover.
What you said. And you shared pictures of it. Did you put them on Instagram yet?
I did.
I know you put them on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I literally did the whole gambit. It should be on Twitter, too.
The whole gambit?
Yeah.
With the playing cards and everything?
Yeah, I threw some playing cards and I talked with that accent.
Did your eyes get black with like red beads?
That would be the best part. I would be like standing in the bathroom staring at myself for a day like, this is pretty cool. Every once in a while, I just take the toothbrush and light it up.
Nice. Now, can he depower it?
I think, I don't know. In the comic books, I've never seen that, but I would think that would be part of the power. Depower it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you remember the one where
why haven't they ever done an action figure of him?
Gambit?
Like a decent action figure. Legends.
I hate all the Gambit action figures.
Marvel Legends, we need a Gambit that looks like Gambit
it's
from the 90s.
Because they can't do those jackets very well in the molded plastic.
They did the Red Skull one, okay.
Well, I mean, it's been kind of recent.
I mean, now they can do them pretty it feels like cloth.
Right.
And that, but yeah, a Gambit would be one I'd buy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too.
I got all three of the Marvel Legends from the current X-Men one that I wanted.
I have all none of the ones I want.
I'm sorry.
I'll be honest, I haven't really been looking, so.
I just got lucky.
Yeah, I know.
It's like literally every time I went to the store, it was like, oh, hey, there's the one I want.
There's
Cable. Oh, hey, there's the one I want.
There's X-Man. Hey, there's Kitty Pride. Hey, there's Jean Grey.
Kitty Pride I was on the fence about, but I was like,
she comes with
Lockheed and the Magneto helmet, and I'm like, yeah.
Magneto helmet Kitty Pride is the best. Yeah. All right. So let's get into this. Rogue One.
Yeah.
New trailer came out just after we finished recording last week, along with the Olympics, which are, you know, about to end in a couple days.
Is it?
Yeah. So
I've been looking at the medal count and that's about it.
The Fortnite is about over. So I've been watching, I've been making them watch track and field with me, which has been fun. All right, so just real quick, what was your reaction to the trailer?
Looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything out of this one that I don't like yet.
Yeah.
It's just enough of everything.
Yeah, it has the feel of, what is it called now, the Legends universe?
Legacy.
Legacy, sorry. So it has that feel of that where it was the building of a universe within that universe. So, like I said, you know, we see stormtroopers. We see, you know, Vader at the end of the preview.
Right.
And that, and it's like, you know, it's pretty much establishing this does take place in that universe, but it's a story about different heroes. How kind much, of a la Rebels.
Right. Especially know? like the beginning of Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, where it was a whole bunch of characters who we had no idea who they were. The only one was Hera, really, who was in the EU book.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about Vader real quick.
Yeah.
How much Vader do you want to see in this?
Just at the end of it.
You think?
Yeah. I think like once the plans are stolen and, you know, the, guy who's running around in white, I can't remember the character's name.
Yeah.
Once he fails, Vader's just going to come in, choke him. Yeah. Say something about this, you know, menace of a,
you've greatly disappointed me.
And it's going to be him, you know, getting the Star Destroyer and chasing down the plans and leading right into Star Wars.
Yeah. So, do you think it has to logically go to, because Jimmy Smits is apparently going to be in
as
Bail Organa. So,
which, you know, makes
perfect sense. You know,
if they wouldn't have cast Carrie Fisher's daughter in Force Awakens, she would have been a great young Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Because she looks so much like her.
Yeah. They're gonna do the CG thing to Carrie Fisher with.
Fair enough.
No, I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
That would be cool if they did though, but I'm definitely excited for this one. The trailers have
if I had to guess,
given a little more
Bail's in there.
Yeah,
that they'll deliver the plans to Bail, and then it'll be that leads into Star Wars.
Right, right.
And that Vader, I think Vader will be coming in to punish.
Yeah.
The failure of the guy who is like, you know.
Yeah. There. So, I was listening to Jedi Council on Collider, which, quick side note, David, our buddy David, has a vlog now. You guys should totally check it out. It's pretty good. He's only got 2 episodes up right now, but he's going to be talking kind of more of his own stuff.
Okay.
Video games, sports, movies, TV. He's pretty eclectic guy.
Okay.
So definitely check that out.
Is he on the Jedi Council thing?
Sometimes. Okay. He's been on every now and then. But they were talking, and I think it was Christian Harloff said he really wants to see Vader in the TIE, like in a space battle.
Nah.
No? Too much? No,
too much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Batman and Suicide Squad. You only needed about 10 minutes of him.
Which is about what you got.
Yeah. And that's what I'd say. Fair enough for Vader. He shows up for 10 minutes, does his duty, and lights the lightsaber up and puts it right through the guy, and that's it. Yeah. Don't even use the Force, just the lightsaber.
I, you know, like Vader Down happened. Was that earlier this year?
That was last year.
Last year. Yeah. I no idea. No concept. Toward the end of last year. Yeah. The first issue of Vader Down where he's using the Force and talked about it. Like you can go back and find the episode. But, like, if they can't do that, then they need to do what you're talking about.
That would be what I would do on Rebels. If Vader shows up again in a space battle, that would be where I would do that because it's cheaper.
And it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Financially, you know, putting Vader into the middle of a space battle that isn't really going to be there, because the only battle that sounds like it's in that movie is during that whole thing when they're stealing the plants.
Right.
On the Forest Moon of Endor replacement. Yeah.
But no. And then, so the other thing about this is, all right. So we're both really excited for this movie.
To see some like bonus stuff since I'm going to Disney World.
I know that'll be cool. I'm toast jelly.
Star Wars Hangar Bay.
But you found this super trailer.
Yeah. Where somebody put together everything.
Like it cut together all the Rogue One stuff and then some, Star Wars.
Yeah.
See, I think it's funny. We both call it Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call it Episode 4. I don't call it A New Hope.
I've mentioned it as A New Hope once in a while, you know, when you're in a room with people who don't know better.
Yeah.
And that, it's Star Wars.
Yeah. It's Star Wars, it's Empire,
that's
Jedi.
That's what I've seen it as with Star Wars. Everything that I have from back in that day, it says Star Wars on it.
Yeah, I have the,
you know, The comic book adaption of that movie does not say A New Hope on it anymore.
I have the Laserdisc version.
Right.
Like the digital version of that.
I've still got my original VHS.
Yeah, it's called Star Wars.
It's called the Star Wars Trilogy.
HD. Yeah. Anyway, No, so you found the supercut. It's great. There's links to it on the show notes. You should totally check it out.
Did you see the Beastie Boys one?
Oh, yeah.
The Sabotage?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was awesome, too.
Miguel, Susie and Miguel.
Yeah.
He posted that on Facebook, and he goes, it worked for Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, so. Joe posted it, too. That's where I seen it. And it was like, this totally could be, like, the preview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Alrighty.
The thing with the Death Star alarms is part of the music. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah. All right. So that's happy news. We'll do a little sad news now.
Well, for you.
We literally just freaking talked about this.
Maybe if we talk about stuff that is still in existence, it get canceled.
So are we like the...
What do we not like?
Are we like the Eric Balfour or Natalie Morales of stuff?
Oh,
like, wow. They're both show killers.
Wow.
So did we kill Invincible?
Somebody else is a show killer, too.
Oh, I mean, there's lots of them out there. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar has turned into a show killer, unfortunately.
Damn. She didn't kill Rebels. She
killed crazy.
They killed her.
They killed her before it got too far along. Anyway.
Vader was like, I sense a presence.
Robert Kirkman and Ryan Otley announced the end of Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, I was having a bad day when I saw it, and I was like, I texted you and said, this is some bullshit.
The meme I made of it.
Yes. So, well, yeah, you should totally share that.
Yeah.
But I definitely had a very strong reaction at first. And then
I was at work and got that, and I was like, oh, God. And then I looked at the email because I thought, what happened now? Because they're like, read your email. And I read it, and I'm like,
yeah,
it happens.
So I mean, because I got the press release and you know, I forwarded it to you, and
after it happened with Fables, I was like, yeah, it happens, because Fables was another one where it was a loved book.
And, oh yeah,
you know, we're coming to an end.
Yeah, you know, and
Sandman was the same way too. It was,
and like I said, at first I was all piss and vinegar, angry, not angry, but definitely upset. But,
well, there's like holes in the walls in your room now, and you know,
this is the cleanest this thing has been in months. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway,
his room's like, you know, back to looking really nice.
Yeah,
and you stopped buying Lego sets.
I did stop buying Lego sets. I filled a 72-gallon tub.
Wow.
Full of just Lego.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no, but with Invincible, I've definitely, like, after seeing more of what Kirkman has said and more of what Otley has said, I'm okay with it. Like, it seems like they have a really cool plan.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see
say the end. They're not going to kill him or anything.
No, but the story's going to come to a conclusion.
The story's going to end, and it's going to, you know, I think that with the story where he traveled to the future and found out he had a family and he had kids, I think we're going to see that. We're going to finally, like, find out where everybody is at the end of that story, and it's just going to leave it open to, like, you know, if he wants to come back and do a mini series or something.
Well, and like, he lives super long time. So, well, I mean, they could do, like, it would be great to wait like 5 years and then come back and do, like, hey, 50 years has passed. Eve is dead.
Sure.
You know, how does Mark deal with that?
Right.
You know, are they even still together? But no, it was, it just kind of came at a time where I was like, ugh. But like I said, the more I've read and the more I've seen, it's just like, okay, these guys have an idea for what they want to do. I love the book. I felt more for
Ryan, for the fact that what Robert put in Robert did an open letter. I'm sure you can find
it. And we just watched the video.
Skybound.
So, which is on Facebook.
You'll put a link on the video.
Yeah, there's a link to the letter and everything.
But he says that Ryan, like, told him, you know, I'd like to draw something else before I die.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where that shows the dedication of Ryan to the book.
Right.
And to Kirkman.
Right.
And that, for the fact that he's stuck around this long and, you know, taking breaks when he needed to. And Corey's shown the dedication to continuously come back and do stories when Ryan's been on vacation.
I mean, what Corey's doing right now in the book.
Yeah.
Is.
And it doesn't look like anything like his first storyline at all.
Like, I was reading something else about it, and it had talked about how these two have matured as artists through this book.
Yeah.
And it's like, hell yeah, they have.
Yeah,
like,
you can literally go back and look at the first storyline and look at Corey's current storyline and go, it looks like a different artist almost.
It's not the same.
It's the same style, but it's different. And Ryan, I mean, just, you know, if you watch that video with Kirkman, you just tell from that video, like, where he's changed over the years.
Right.
And that, and you know, like I said, I got to meet him, so that was pretty awesome. And he's a cool guy.
Hopefully I'll get to meet him at some
point. You know, it's one of those things where I look forward to seeing what he's going to do next.
Right.
Kirkman obviously is Walking Dead. The Walking Dead has become a monster.
Yes. A monster.
Like, I think that the fact that he's so busy with The Walking Dead, this will give him a little bit of release. Because it's got to be tough. He's writing Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the showrunners on The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. He's a showrunner on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's a showrunner on Outcast.
And he's like got Thief of Thieves that he's overseen.
Yeah, he's
and
on
like
that
he's
now
got the Skybound is pretty much his stuff. So
Skybound, I could see where he's, you know, it's his company, but he's got somebody running it for him.
Right.
And that, but all that when you're doing so much, and it happened to him when he was working at Marvel and he was doing Walking Dead and Invincible, it took The Walking Dead on a bad turn. There's a couple trade paperbacks where it's it's just the prison.
Yeah.
And it's like it lasted too long because he was so busy doing Marvel stuff and people love his writing that he was doing a lot of Marvel stuff.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't have got Marvel Zombies.
No.
If Kirkman wasn't there.
No.
And that.
So anyway, yeah. You know,
it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's cool. You know, at least you told us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, yeah. It's so much better.
How would
to...
you have felt if like you picked up a previews or seen previews online and 2 months before the book comes out, final issue.
Or since I don't read previews often.
Yeah.
Pick up the final issue and it's like final issue.
Yeah.
And you know, you see a tablet in the middle of the street. So anyway, so I think we talked about this, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is a comic that is to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And we are going to get a celebration on the way out.
Yeah. So. And I think like Kirkman said, you know, he could have let the book go to somebody else and, you know, see what they would have done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not a bad idea if you want to do miniseries
at
with
some
characters
point. Yeah.
From the book. But, you know, an ongoing, it's like, yeah, it's fine. End it.
Yeah. Yeah.
End it and just, you know, maybe let people play in that universe and publish their stuff and that. And, you know, let Ryan go over to Marvel and do Star Wars. And, you know, hopefully somebody at Marvel is listening to that.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Even if he was doing, like, you know, one of the other books that's being, I mean, Vader's ending, obviously,
right.
But Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan would be kind of a cool, that
it,
would be cool to see his
it
version.
It would be cool to see his version. I think it would be cool to see his version of, you know, just the main Star Wars title.
Ryan would be cool on a Jabba the Hutt miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
With everybody in Hutt's
because
palace.
He's
and
so good with
of
the
all
gore
the expressive
and the
alien
slime
stuff.
And, yeah.
And, you
so,
know,
yeah.
It's like, he's done so many different aliens that to see him do the Star Wars aliens and do a story with them would be kind of like off the wall cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So,
all right. So the last thing we're going to talk about before we get to our main topic. Yeah.
Please, Marvel. Let's
all
put
right.
the pin in that and put it on the wall. And
so Marvel's Runaways.
Yes.
The Brian K. Vaughan, Adrian Alfona. I say that right?
I think so.
Alfona.
Yeah.
Alfona.
A L P H
O N A. It's coming to Hulu.
Yeah.
Perfect
as a
place.
Series.
Perfect place for this show.
Right.
Especially because Hulu tends to do the week over week release of things.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoyed the Runaways comic, I don't think this is one I would want to binge.
Okay.
Like I look at like so I'm gonna compare it to Jessica Jones a little bit, which I'm a big fan of. It was really good. I think Jessica Jones would have been one of those shows that I probably should have waited and watched like maybe one or two a night instead of watching 13 in one night.
Yeah, I have told you before that that is a problem that you have.
Well,
I can understand.
I get on
it.
A roll and it's like.
I know. I understand it and that. But like, you know, we watch two episodes.
Right.
a night, mm-hmm. and then we watch another two episodes. Right. And it's one of those things where the break yeah. on a something like Jessica Jones was needed because it was a lot so heavy, more yeah. heavier.
Well, and so
Daredevil season two was the same way. Season one, you could binge watch season one and it felt like a movie.
Yeah.
And season two, it was one of those things where all it the had stuff arcs. With Elektra and yeah. Punisher mm-hmm. was really just so like heavy story wise that it was good to have that break.
And I've taken your advice because like I started watching The Night Of.
Yeah.
And it's six episodes okay. in. And I watched one a night for the last six okay. nights. Yeah. And I'm all caught up and I'm in love with the show. It's so good.
Literally, I did that with Mozart in the Jungle.
Okay. The Amazon show. Yeah.
I watched like two or three episodes a day mm-hmm. and, you know, flew through it still. But it was one of those ones where it's like the break where you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I can go back and watch more of that tomorrow. And,
yeah.
you know, it's not one of those things where you're just sitting there and blowing through it. And then you're like, what just happened? It's like Stranger Things. I blew through that, but it was one of those ones where it's like you didn't really have to
mm-hmm.
break on that one. The binge watching on that was like Daredevil, where it was like a movie.
It was an eight-hour movie. It was an eight-hour movie for sure.
Yeah, and it's like when it was, I will go back and watch Stranger Things again and probably do it in segments of two episodes or something.
Yeah.
And see how it feels.
Yeah, some interesting things about this one, though. It's going to be executive produced and co-show ran by Josh Schwartz from the OC and Chuck okay. and
yeah.
that kind of stuff. And Stephanie Savage from the OC and Gossip Girl.
Okay.
So
Brian K. Vaughn's not involved at all?
Besides his name
being on it?
I'm sure he'll be involved in some way or another. But, you know, he needs to focus on Saga. Let's not get him too Kirkman'd.
That's the thing is the things he's focusing on besides Saga are the TV stuff.
Yeah. But
and Paper Girls.
Yeah, Paper Girls has been,
yeah.
which is like the female version, or Stranger Things is like the male version of yeah. Paper Girls.
It's one of those ones where it's like, you're like, wow, two people came up with a similar idea around the same time. It's like, that's happened before.
It happens a lot. Weird. Yeah, it's, you know, with two movies about asteroids hitting the Earth and two movies about...
The Matrix and yeah. Dark City are kind yeah. of very, like, a similar
thing. They are similar, yes. Different movies for sure, oh, yeah. but
the similarities are there. Man,
I love Dark City. All right, so it's coming to Hulu. It doesn't say when, but we'll keep you guys posted.
2018.
Yeah. All right, Avatar: The Last Airbender. You ready?
Sure.
What element would you be?
Fire or earth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'd be water.
Yeah.
Or earth. I'd like to say, oh, I'd
fire
be air,
because
but
I can get like
yeah, you
angry
get angry
real fast.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So, like, I think I would be water just because it's kind of me.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
But I definitely would be an avatar.
You'd be the avatar.
I'd be a fire avatar.
I'm the avatar. You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about Korra. We'll do that for a later date when you've actually seen all of Korra. Ooh. All right. So if you're not familiar with Avatar: The Last Airbender, pause this. Go over to Amazon and watch Avatar: The Last Airbender, not to be confused with the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Or what I like to call Atrocity.
Never seen it. Still.
Well, I told you about the time I tried to get the kid Bado 7 to watch it, right?
She started crying.
And she's like, this is an Avatar.
it was so sad. Shyamalan's Avatar is the best Avatar.
She's not going to call him Aang anymore. She's going to call him Aang. And she's not going to call him Sokka.
No, please tell me
they didn't.
She's going
to call him Sokka. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
That had a lot of known actors in it now.
Yeah.
They're known actors.
They are.
And it's like, so your first job is going to be on the Avatar Last Airbender live action movie.
What a
like,
waste of Dev Patel.
What?
You know, because he was a horrible Zuko. Anyway, all right.
Dev Patel played Zuko.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the dude who was in Mortal Kombat, the Your Soul Is Mine.
Oh, Kerry Hiratoga.
He was Uncle Iroh.
Tagua.
He was Iroh.
Him, I would be okay
no,
with.
That is
I'm
not
like,
Iroh.
Why didn't they just cast Mako?
Well, because he was dead.
Oh, but, did they do that after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, why didn't they just cast Dante Bosco as
I Zuko? Do not know. Anyway. Or the dude who was Sokka's voice as Sokka.
Yeah.
Jack.
DeSena.
Yeah, Jack DeSena. All right. So, if you don't know, Avatar is a world divided into four nations. The Water Tribe, the Earth Kingdom, the Fire Nation, and the Air Nomads. Oh, I have a typo in there. Each represents a natural element for which the nation is named.
Beginning of the show.
Oh, I should have.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Another funny thing about this is the KB07 when she was little, and we would watch.
Yeah.
She would act out the entire thing.
The beginning.
And then she'd get to the end, and Katara would be like, "Aang can save the world," and she'd turn and look at us and go, "Aang can save the world."
The
world. The world. It was like the cutest thing ever. Anyway, that being said, so it's four nations. It's a world at war. It's at the end of the Hundred Years' War, essentially.
Right.
The Avatar is an individual who is the master of all four elements.
Right.
And there's one born each generation, essentially.
Yeah, every 30 years.
Well, 30, it just kind of depends. Like
30 to 60 is a generation.
Their life is like,
right.
Their life expectancy is definitely odd for the planet they're on.
Right.
We'll call it Earth. But anyway, so there's the Water Nation who is, there's the Water Nation that's split into the North and South Pole or North and South Water Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Earth Kingdom, which is actually like the largest land mass.
Right.
And then you have the Fire Nation, who are, you know, the imperialists. They're very much about conquering and things like that.
Well, they're the reason the Hundred Years War started.
And then there was the Air Nomads.
Yeah.
Now, Aang is the Avatar, which we find out really early on.
First episode.
Yeah. Very. We find that out before anybody else.
Yeah.
What happens is the Avatar that preceded him, Roku, dies, and the cycle is,
Roku was a Fire Nation.
So the cycle goes fire, earth, water, or fire, air, water, earth.
Right.
And knowing that the next Avatar was going to be an earth or an airbender.
Right.
Fire Lord, Azulon. Right. Yeah. Azulon. I love the names, by the way, in this show. Wipe them out.
Yeah. Literally it was the, if we get rid of them and kill every one of them, then the next one will be,
right.
You know, actually I think he was trying to,
end the Avatar cycle. And you know, there's only certain ways that can happen, but we don't really need to get too far into spoilers.
Well, the whole thing, what it is Aang finds out that he's going to be the next Avatar.
Right.
And like a child, you know, he pretty much is upset,
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to go away. He's like, you know, like, well, we've talked about, there's the hero that doesn't want to be a hero.
They don't, they're not supposed to tell the Avatar that they're the Avatar until they're 16.
Yeah.
They tell Aang when he's 12.
Right.
Because of what's going on. And
yeah, because he's going to be taken from his master.
Well,
because
he needs to go and learn the other elements. And kind of they need to take him into hiding.
But he panics, mm-hmm. pretty much. He like has a panic attack and gets upset and gets on
Appa, which is his flying sky bison.
Yeah, and decides that he's going to run away.
Right. So that's one of the other great things about this show. I mean, it's a kid's show.
Right.
Right. But it's very adult. It's very heady.
Yeah.
I love the animals. Right. So it's a flying sky bison.
The crossbreed animals.
Yeah. It's a turtle dove or a turtle duck. You know.
Yeah. There was one that was just that.
Well, there was the Earth King had Bosco the bear.
Yeah.
And he's just a bear. And they're like, not a platypus bear?
Yeah.
Not a lemur bear? Yeah. You know, and it was like, no, he's just a bear. So there is that.
So when Aang runs away, he gets caught in the middle of a storm.
Right.
And literally pretty much puts him and Appa into a carbon freeze.
Like a suspended animation. Yes, he freaks out.
He freaks and freezes them.
And he goes into the Avatar state and they both fall underwater and he freezes them where they're, you know, they're not found for 100 years.
Right.
And he's found by a brother and sister, Katara and Sokka.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sokka.
Yeah.
Like Sokka and Zuko are probably my favorite two characters.
Sokka is the everyman.
He is.
Yeah. Literally, like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that everybody can go, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I would be that guy.
Right.
And Katara obviously is Lois Lane.
Yeah, very much.
Well,
so.
Yeah, well, because Aang is
Lois
Aang is
Lane,
a Superman
but she
type.
Can kind of save herself.
Well,
you know,
Lois
but,
Lane.
Yeah,
yeah.
The but,
Lois
I mean, she
Lane
can do it with
I
superpowers.
Think about is like
yeah.
you know an independent woman mm-hmm. that can do whatever she wants and still, you know, have the man around.
Johnny just did the Beyonce dance.
Yeah,
all the ladies. Anyway,
but yeah, so they find him. He literally the ice. Circle comes
yeah,
floating
it's
up.
This like ball of ice.
Yeah, it's and... awesome. Like it was awesome, and they find him, and you know they don't know who he is.
Right,
they suspect who he is.
Well, no, they. I mean, they.
I think Katara like
Katara might
him,
a little bit.
Sokka's not.
Well,
really.
Sokka's oblivious to yeah, everything but yeah. food.
Right. Yeah.
No, but so the like I was saying, like the really neat thing about the show is. It takes from so many things like you're talking about. It's the reluctant hero.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, the everyman. You have Katara who is, you know, she wants to be more of the world.
Well,
and
it's
not
that whole
stay.
Thing where Katara is aware that there is a world out there mm-hmm. and she's stuck in her tribe in the
and
south?
She's trapped. Yeah. She's in the
yeah,
south.
So she's in the south. Mom died. Mm-hmm. Dad's gone off to war. Mm-hmm. The only remnant of an outside world is a battleship that's frozen.
Right.
And it's one of those things where you know there's more out there.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, there's the comparison for her, Ariel.
Yeah.
From Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
You know there's more to the world mm-hmm. and you want to see it.
And she's and got who's it and what's it
yeah.
a plenty.
Well, and it's the thing where she, I'm independent. Mm-hmm. I can take care of myself.
Right.
Pretty much is her attitude, like, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, she's taking care of Sokka, too. And I think, is he older than her?
He's her older.
I think he's older, but, like, she,
yeah.
she's the more
she's
mature
the mom.
One.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't have a mom. Your dad's gone. Mm-hmm. So Sokka, you know, well, is missing that dad thing.
And Sokka being the oldest man in the village,
yeah.
or male in the village. Like, because I don't think he's ever a man,
right?
Until
later,
Korra.
Yeah.
But he takes it on himself to be the great protector,
right?
And you know he's not very good at it.
No,
not like you know because he's another one who, like, when they start on their journey, the world wasn't ready for him,
right?
But he sure was ready to like pick up and learn as much as he could.
Oh yeah, yeah. He literally adapts. Real fast to what's going on around
the best
him.
Of them, you know. A lot of my favorite episodes revolve around
yeah.
them. You know.
Well, he was the guy where you're like, wow, he really knows how to cut a deal and you know get into a town and you know
yeah,
just,
he can just blend in.
What's going on? Hey, yeah. what's going hey. On here? Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's that?
Yeah,
let me try that. You know,
because he didn't have any bending
no.
powers at all.
No.
So he was literally just a guy.
And that was the know. Greatest thing about that character is they never gave him a power.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of these shows will like, you know, they'll give the secondary and tertiary characters
right.
powers that then take all their agency away and take what makes them actually special away. Like Heroes was horrible about
yeah.
that. What was it? Heroes Buddy. Not Yanto.
Tycho.
I don't know, but
yeah,
but
I don't remember.
So. Anyway, they gave him power, lightning powers, and it's like, why?
See, at that point, I stopped yeah. watching at that point.
Anyway,
but yeah, it literally was one of those things where you know he was just the common man,
mm-hmm.
and he would come in and be like, well, I'm going to do it this way, and I don't care about you guys. You got bending powers.
Right.
Oh, you got fire bending. Who cares?
Yeah. It was like to go back to like X-Men a little bit.
Yeah.
He's Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
You know, he's our way into the
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
So Aang is just this happy, happy little boy.
Yeah.
Like
100 years has passed and he doesn't even care.
He doesn't even really notice. Like,
right.
you know, I mean, like he knows about it, but like, you know, the thing is he sees the world with just the pure joy of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But has this old, you know, millennia's old soul.
Yeah.
And he understands what his responsibility
well, I think
is.
The whole idea of he is infused with, mm-hmm. you know, the past knowledge of the other avatars.
Right.
Plus the fact that he lived 100 years before everybody else.
Right.
So it's like, you know, he's seen stuff that they haven't seen.
Well, he remembers a world at peace.
Right.
And so he's not an avatar that is born of war.
Right.
He is not an avatar that died setting off a war.
Right.
He is one that was lost.
Yeah. And I mean, and plus being, you know, a monk for all you know, purposes.
I mean, his most important thing is enlightenment.
The Airbender, the Air Nation.
Nomads.
I guess, or, yeah, it's a nation to me.
Yeah.
They were all monks, pretty much. So right, it's like one of those things where they're taught to, you know, focus, be who you are, be in the where you are.
In the moment.
In the moment. And it's like he was like that. But was the opening credits on the very first episode?
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
So like the part where he's spinning and he runs into the wall.
Right.
You know the character just from that.
Just from
when
that.
She's talking about he's going to save the world and all this stuff. And he just spins and he's laughing and he runs into a wall. And you're like, this kid's going to save the world?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, cool.
Well, so there's that, right? She's talking about how he's a master airbender, but he has to learn the other things. That's the point.
Right.
But the point where she talks about he's going to save the world, it's this amazing, like, kind of silhouetted superhero shot that comes up where he's holding his staff and, like, looking out over the world. And it's like, there's more to this kid than just the goofballedness.
Yeah. And I think that, like, over the period of the series, you start to realize that because they start getting more into his emotional state.
Well, yeah. And
because, I mean, like, when they go to the one kingdom where Bumi was his friend as a child.
Imashu.
And, you know, Bumi's an adult. It's like they still had that, you know, they were still
that
bouncing off
bond,
of each other. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. But you could tell when he ran into an older Bumi, it was like he realizes that I'm an old man.
Yeah.
I am an old man in a kid's body. And it's
Bonsu.
Bonsu Pivin Patacopsilopsilicus. Well, and he starts to like mature after him and Bumi, like, you know.
Because the one right before that was going to Kyoshi Island
and
you know, wanting to ride the whatever, the big snake thing.
Yeah.
And then seeing Bumi and realizing, oh, wait a second, I've got work to do.
Yeah.
There's that. The other thing that makes Aang so awesome is his relationship with Appa.
Yeah.
So the way it works with the Air Nomads is they're paired with a Sky Bison.
Yeah.
And essentially it's like penguins. They're you know, connected for life.
Right. Yeah. It's literally linking, you know, an animal to a person.
And, you know, the Sky Bison are the original airbenders.
Okay.
You know, they were the original ones to fly.
Right.
Like the dragons were the original ones for fire. And the sea and the moon were the original ones for water. And the badger moles were the original ones for earth. But he has this just affinity because Appa is his best friend.
Yeah.
Appa is his mom. Appa is his dad.
Right.
You know, Appa is all of these things, but at the same time, Aang is all of that to Appa.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just, it's such a wonderful relationship. Like in season two, when Appa goes missing.
Yeah.
And you see Aang kind of teetering, not like, I'm not going to say like light side, dark side.
Right.
But he teeters and he crosses the line a couple times that he knows he shouldn't cross, but he does.
Well, yeah,
does
because
anyway.
He's trying to find his friend.
But at the end of the day, the thing that's most important to Aang is enlightenment and being centered.
Yeah.
And Appa helps him with that.
Right.
Appa keeps him, you know, quote unquote, for two beings that can fly, Appa keeps him grounded in the world. And so I think that's important. Now, this show has some of the greatest villains.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. Zuko starts out as a villain.
Well, and that's the thing. The villains are complex villains.
So
They're not just two-dimensional. You know, it's a two-dimensional cartoon.
I mean, I would almost argue that Zuko is one of the most complex characters in all of fiction.
Yeah. I didn't, like, you know, you've watched it multiple times.
Yeah.
I watched the whole series once.
Right.
I didn't feel like Zuko was a villain at all.
No,
like,
he started out with that villain archetype.
Yeah.
But no, he was the banished prince who for him it was about getting his honor back. Like it could
the
have been anything.
The reason why I don't think he was a villain was because Uncle Iroh.
Yeah.
Because Uncle Iroh, like Appa was to Aang, Iroh was to Zuko.
Agreed.
He grounded him and he taught him
and he matured him.
Because, you know, Iroh, like, you know, pretty much they tell you that he was a warlord. Like, he was, like, hardcore warlord.
The greatest general in Fire Nation history.
And he just, you know, after his son died, it was like, there's nothing.
There was no fight left.
There's nothing to this.
There was, you know? There was tea, and there was Paisho, and
there was,
you know,
Zuko.
There was Zuko.
Because Zuko became his surrogate son, pretty much. And it was like, you know, if I can't teach my son, I will teach my brother's son.
Right.
And, you know, that's what Iroh felt like to me was, you know, this boy has a brighter future than just being
right.
the next He's emperor going of to the be Fire someone Nation.
Special.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, having Aang come out of his hibernation just pushed it further, faster.
Right.
And yeah, like Dante Bosco was awesome as Zuko.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For being, you know, Dante Bosco is like our age.
Yeah.
And he played a kid character really well. Mm-hmm. Like he did the voice inflection really well of this being a young man.
A young troubled man.
Yeah. Who would, you know, in the further on of the seasons mature. Mm-hmm. And by the end, you're like, he's an adult at this point.
I mean, he's older than the rest of them.
Yeah.
So.
They're all around 12, 13 years old. And
I think Katara Zuko's and
like 16 or 17.
Katara and Zuko are like 16. And then Sokka is however old Sokka is. Then Aang is younger. Like Katara is totally robbing the cradle there.
I thought Katara was like 14. That's maybe, I always felt.
Anyway, you can look it up. I'm sure there's an Avatar Wikipedia out there to find it. But no, the voice cast on the show. But like, oh, the villains. We're not done talking about villains.
Cause what? Azulon?
Well, no, Azulon was their grandfather.
Is it Azula?
Azula is his sister.
I'm sorry, these characters.
Yeah, I know. And the names all sound the same. Azula is, first off, the greatest female villain ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And second off, one of the most terrifying people ever, ever written. And how Brian and Mike came up with this character, like, there's darkness in them. There's great darkness.
Somebody had a mean sister.
Yeah, definitely.
I bet that's pretty much it.
And she's voiced by Grey Delice, mm-hmm. who just the nuance that she puts into this role.
Yeah.
There's just so much power in that character that, she's just infectious. She gets people to follow her, even though they know what she says and what she's doing is wrong.
How evil she is.
Well, the way she gets,
we'll go do it.
The way she gets Ty Lee, her gymnast friend, to go with her, is hilarious because she essentially just tortures her at the circus that she's performing at until she's like, "I've decided my life is better spent with you." And then May, it just kind of depends on who's saying it.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm bored. I want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, she kind of... If I was going to cast a real Avatar movie, I would have... what's her name from Community? Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. Yeah. Sorry, got them mixed up. Aubrey Plaza would play that character.
Oh, definitely.
Because she's so just monotone.
Well, and Aubrey Plaza voiced characters in Korra. A character in Korra later on, but... Yeah, and then Ty Lee is this fun, just happy-go-lucky, you know.
She's
very
Aang
much like
type,
Sokka.
Yeah,
she's a good mix of Sokka and Aang.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you have Fire Lord Ozai, who is voiced by the great, great Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And it's very much
not
like the,
much in there, though. You know, it's
not until the end.
Yeah, he's literally everything. Like one of those ones where everybody talks about him.
The idea of
but
him.
But you don't see him.
And that's what makes him so scary. Yeah. And that's what makes the last half of the last season so powerful.
Because you start seeing
who and what he is.
Yeah.
And you learn about how because he's the second son, how he took the throne.
Right.
And what he... You know, really
well,
gave
what he
up.
Did to Zuko.
Well,
I mean,
we get that from the beginning. He burned him in an
right. But when you
duel.
Find out why it happened, it's worse.
It's
a lot worse.
Screw you, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the dad of the year.
No. And explains a lot about Zuko.
And
explains a lot about Azula as well. But no. Okay. So this show ran for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
It was about 22 episodes a season.
Was it just planned to be a 3 seasons?
You know,
series?
I don't know. I mean, and I've never really seen like a definitive one way or the other.
Because it felt like each season was earth, fire, water.
It was water, earth, fire.
Like each season
and they were called books.
Master this element. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, by the end, you're like, you've mastered these elements. Mm-hmm. Now you are the Avatar. And it's like, there's nothing else you could really
So I, you know
there's going to be other stories and other villains.
It's definitely a complete story. And in this particular version of the story has been continued fabulously in the Dark Horse comics.
Right.
Which a new one comes out in a couple weeks.
But do those feel like, I haven't read any of those. Do they feel like seasons, or do they just feel like a story in that universe because they have the characters in
them? Feel like stories in that universe because they don't need to feel like seasons. They just need to feel like arcs. Now, in my opinion, season one is the weakest.
Okay.
Now, it's not that I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
It's just, it took them a little bit of time.
It's a lot of setup.
Well, and it's not even the setup that's the problem. There's just, they kind of veer off in some different paths where they're trying to figure out who these characters are. The show really takes off about a third of the way through the second season.
When they introduce Toph?
When they introduce Toph.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's
who
she pushes the story along a little bit more.
She's this blind, tiny little girl who is the most powerful. She's the most powerful bender of all of them. I mean, Aang's pretty powerful, but she kind of puts him to shame.
It's the whole idea of, you know, when they talk about blind people or deaf people or you know, somebody with a debilitation like that.
Heightened senses.
That heightens the other senses, and I think because she was blind, that her earth bending like amped up big time.
Right.
And because she literally, like, at one point, like, creates a monster out of rock.
Well, and she creates a whole new form of bending with metal bending.
Yeah.
So, because she finds the dirt within the metal, the impurities within the metal. I can't say enough about these characters and how much I love them. And I can't say enough about the cast that did this.
Right.
One of the great things that we've got out of this, though, is the crew that was involved. Dave Filoni was one of the directors.
Oh, yeah.
Joaquin DeSantis, who does the new Voltron series, was involved. You know, it's I don't want to spoil a lot of this.
No.
But one thing I do like, you know, I put a list of I asked you to put your top five episodes.
I tried.
And you told me you just like them all.
I'm like, I like certain elements of certain episodes. Literally, it's the element thing.
Yeah.
It's certain things in certain episodes. Like, I enjoyed the episode with Bumi because I'm like, this gives us the story of Aang as a kid, as a real kid.
Yeah, the history is put in there.
And, you know, there's stuff like the end. Like, the whole arc at the end is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but Toph, the introduction of Toph. And there's just certain little bits of stories.
She's doing like the pro wrestler thing, right?
Yeah.
But with earthbending. And there's a character named the Pebble.
Yeah.
Who is a takeoff of The Rock, who is voiced by Mick Foley doing an impression of The Rock, which is spot on. But no, there's just a lot of like just beautiful episodes in this. You know, the end of the first season is awesome with Yue and the sacrifice she makes, and you know, Sokka, like, I think that was the moment where Sokka was like, okay, there's things I have to do to make this world a better place, and I'm going to do it because of this woman.
Right.
And then his whole relationship with Suki and the Kyoshi warriors, and, you know,
I mean, you know, there's a lot of intricate story in this show, but you don't even feel like it. Like, I buzzed through it.
Yeah.
Last year when I got Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, you Prime, can just, I mean, just that's the thing is it. You just like we talked before
a little
about
harder. And I don't know why it's the same people.
It is. So Korra was only meant to be one season.
Right, yeah.
And then Nickelodeon said, hey, we want
more. That's what I was wondering, if this one was like one where it
no,
was
I think this kind of ran its
just,
course,
yeah.
If I remember correctly.
So the funny thing I said to you, because you had watched this repeatedly, And I watched it and I'm like, man, you know, this is similar to the Thundercats that was second incarnation of the Thundercats. And I was like, how did they get it wrong if they were kind of using the same model? Because it was the same model.
Traveling. How did Thundercats get it wrong?
Yeah. How did they get it wrong that they got canceled? Or was it just because of the toys?
It was.
They got canceled?
Well, Avatar never really had toys.
Oh, I know. Avatar's doing all that now.
There was the toys that were crap.
Yeah.
For Thundercats. It was Cartoon Network.
Right.
And Cartoon Network likes to take shows and take them off the air.
Yeah.
And then put them back on without telling
you. So when this aired on Nickelodeon, it aired straight through?
Not like It took breaks, like the winter break, and the holiday break
and that type of break.
But I mean,
but you got like, you know, 2 months of consistent episodes and then a break.
I mean, it was a highly rated series.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know,
that's what I was wondering.
It was like, one of those things where,
because obviously it had a fan base.
See, that's the thing is Netflix. It was on Netflix originally.
Yeah.
Like this is where the show blew up, is on Netflix. And people watching, like, I didn't come to it until, like, I'd seen a couple episodes here and there while it was live.
Okay.
And then I didn't really watch until it was over. And so part of that is I waited.
Was on Netflix at one point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For a long, long time.
And then I get Netflix and they took it off.
But, no, so just real quick, just to talk about these top five favorites. You liked all, I put all the episodes because that's what you said when we were talking.
Yeah,
I thought
fun.
It would be funny. But for me, I definitely do have a top five. And my favorite episode of the series was called Zuko Alone. It's the seventh episode of the second season. And Zuko has been banished from being banished.
He's separated
from Iroh. He just comes into this town and, you know, he's trying to be good.
Yeah.
And not like, it's not like he's trying
he's
to
not
be
being recognized.
His hair started to grow out. And anyway, he comes across this family and he helps them from some raiders.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's helping the dad and, you know, he's getting to see this family that his people have conquered.
Right. Yeah.
And just the perspective that he gains from that. But what the best part is the heartbreak at the end where he literally saves these people from these raiders.
Yeah.
But he does so by revealing that he's a firebender.
Right.
And it turns out that, he's the crown prince of the Fire Nation. And these people who had opened their doors to him and loved him and respected him just turned on him on a dime.
Yeah.
And for him, like, it was a really important moment in the character because he could have gone down this dark, dark path. And he's like, I've got more redemption to do.
Yeah.
I have my honor, you know, all of that.
Right.
In that episode right there is my favorite episode of the entire series.
Okay.
And then my next ones, it was a two-parter. It was The Boiling Rock.
Okay.
It's where Sokka and Zuko again, infiltrate the greatest prison in the Fire Nation.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's a prison in the middle of a volcano surrounded by boiling water.
Right.
And it's where they go to rescue Sokka's dad. Suki's reintroduced to the story.
Right.
And it's just one of these adventures that happens. There's great Azula moments. There's great Mei moments. There's great Ty Lee moments. And Suki like really like shines in this two-parter.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I just love the way that Zuko and you know, looks out for Sokka.
Right.
Where he's new to being a part of the group. And, you know, he's trying to, at this point, he's training Aang to be a firebender.
Firebender, right.
So there's that. The next one in my list, and this is actually kind of chronological. This is kind of the exact order, is the finale. It's called Sozin's Comet. It was four episodes.
Right.
There's a scene where, and you know, the everything that happens between Ozai and Aang is amazing.
Yeah.
In this episode. You have all the stuff with Sokka that goes down and Katara with, you know, helping Zuko. But what makes this for me is the battle between Zuko and Azula at the end.
Yeah.
It's called an Agni Kai. It's what they call a duel. And it's this just beautiful scene of red and blue fire and the score.
Right.
The music behind it. Like, I have goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
It's just this moment where it's two people who have gone, who started in the same place for their journey.
Right.
And they've gone in such different directions and one is too far gone. And the other has kind of, he's found something that the rest of his people need.
Yeah.
And he's for the first time ever fighting for it, fighting for his people.
Right.
And, you know, it's just it. Like I said, it, like a lot of Zuko's story is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and just watching him fight his sister and hold back, but at the same time, like completely for the first time in his life hold his ground against her.
Because she bullied him. I mean,
well, yeah, she was horrible.
She was horrible
to
him, yeah.
So, and then
was really cool because it's like the relationship that Katara and Sokka had, it was a mirror.
It was the mirror image
of that.
So,
and I mean, you didn't find that out until like late in second season, early third season, that, you know, why they were the way they were too.
Oh yeah.
And that, but yeah, that's one of the ones where it was like, you know, playing the mirror.
Mm-hmm. And then my fourth favorite is Sokka's master, and it's Robert Patrick.
Yeah. The sword.
Voicing the swordsman.
Yeah.
And teaching Sokka. And it's a take on Genghis Khan's famous sword.
Right.
Because a meteor crashes, sets a fire. Katara, Aang, and Toph go to work putting it out. And Sokka's just like, And they're like, well, you know, you need a master, or you know, let's go shopping.
Go do something.
Yeah. So they went shopping, and Sokka finds this beautiful sword, and the guy's like, oh, the guy who the sword master who makes those is right up the hill.
Yeah.
And Sokka goes, and Aang's like, oh, you need a master. So Sokka goes and asks to train.
Yeah. Aang's kind of like pushing off what he's happening to him onto Sokka and being like, you need somebody to teach you how to do something too, because we're going to need you.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I think Aang could see that, you know, they were going to lose Sokka at some point if he didn't get on a path.
But not lose him as in like in battle, but he was just going
to
leave.
He would have went back to the,
to
the Water Nation.
He probably would have gone to the North.
Yeah.
But, so he goes through this metamorphosis, really. Yeah. And he comes out on the other side.
He matures in that episode more than he had matured at all on that series.
And his sword is a takeoff of Genghis Khan's sword, because a meteor crashed, and legend has it that they, you know, forged the sword from meteor rock.
Meteors.
And that's what happens here.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool episode. The animation is so well done. I'm a sucker for sword fights.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing that.
And it's Robert Patrick.
And it's Robert Patrick, who was awesome. And this is the first time we get a glimpse at the larger world that's connected, called the White Lotus. And I don't want
to
say anything else about that, because they play a huge part in the finale.
Yep.
And then my last one is the library.
With the giant owl.
With the giant owl. And it's when Appa gets kidnapped.
Yep.
And, you know, it's where we get our first real history of the world.
Right.
Which was so cool.
Yeah.
And again,
I'd say this one was probably one of my favorites.
And it was Hector
Elizondo?
Yeah, as the owl. And he's like, I do not trust humans.
Yeah.
You know. Ooh, got a little echoey there.
Yeah, that one definitely was like a fun one. What was the one I think it happened after Mako passed away, and they did the story.
Oh, it was the Tales of Ba Sing Se.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
That's like right below the library for me. In Iroh's story in particular.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I tear up every
time. Yeah, yeah. It really was like, you know, pulling at the heartstrings, because it's like, you knew that Mako had passed away. I knew, I knew Mako.
Well, and he voiced that episode.
Right.
Like, it was... You
but
know,
it was like his last...
It was his last big one.
Yeah. But, and like just the dedication to him at the end and that. I mean, you know, if you don't know who Mako is, if you've seen Conan the Barbarian, he's in both Conan movies. He's in The Barbarian and he's in The Destroyer.
Yeah.
Played the voice of Splinter in the TMNT movie.
Yeah, the computer generated one.
Which, you know, that was another one where he had passed away
during
that.
Yeah.
And I think that was in production when he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been around forever, and he's one of those guys that shows up and like is the wise.
Yeah.
And like the casting of him as Iroh was like perfect.
Perfect casting.
Yeah.
So now I could talk about this all day.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So and we're kind of running a little long here for what we've been trying to do lately. So,
right.
I will say this. The series is all on Amazon.
Definitely check it out.
The series is all on iTunes.
The series is at Target.
It's at Target
for
like
$29.99
for the entire series.
Yeah, on DVD, $29.99. That's a very good price.
Like, this is one of maybe three or four shows that the three people in my family can all sit down and agree on.
Everybody enjoys it.
And just watch.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about it and we play it out and, you know, all that
fun
stuff. Like, we can't go to the pool and not waterbend each other.
Right.
It's very much like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's very much like The Odyssey. It's like, you know, it's those hero tropes that we've talked about.
It's definitely the thing where, you know, everything links back to the ancient stories.
But it's a twist.
But they twist it enough where you're like, this is its own story. Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know, Star Wars.
And we'll talk about Korra at some point when you finish watching it. And it has a spinoff. It's got a bunch of great comics.
Yeah.
It is 110% worth watching.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, one where I put that off forever and finally watched it and went, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. I think you just kind of put it off because it's 66 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, 54.
Well, it was just one of those ones where it's like, yeah, you know, you hear about it, but it's like not that big a deal. It wasn't that big a deal to me. And it was like after I watched it, I'm like, yeah, this is fun. This is a good show. This is one that I would tell people to watch if they've never seen it. And it's the thing of cartoons are hit and miss because sometimes you get a cartoon where there's no story to it. And then you get a cartoon where it's like...
I think that was part of the problem with Thundercats.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest.
Well, it was a lot of things with that show. But I think, like, you know, they followed that formula. And they did a good enough job at it. But
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. So,
but it was just so reminiscent of Airbender that it was like, you know...
Yeah, the look and feel and everything. So, all right. On that note.
Yeah. I think we are the Infamous Podcast.
The Infamous Podcast. I was afraid I was going to cough right there.
James Earl Jones would.
This is the Infamous Podcast. So you know what you should do is at the expo, because you know how I got Eve Miles last year?
Oh, yeah.
We should try and get like a whole bunch of people to do little tags things. Yeah. All right. Anyway, like he said, we're the Infamous Podcast. You can find us online at theinfamouspodcast.com. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much anywhere where you download a podcast from, you can find us. If we're not on your player, let us know and we'll get on there. Otherwise, head to the website. But if we're not on your podcast player and you're not listening on the website, you probably haven't heard, you're probably not hearing this.
Right.
But yeah.
Definitely, like if you're having problems downloading us or something, you can listen to us directly on the website.
Yeah.
It's usually the way I do it. So.
Yes. And then if you are so inclined and you are one of those podcast apps that has a rating system, whatever the highest rating is, you know, 5 stars most likely would be awesome.
Yes.
Cause we do want to definitely move up and keep growing and do some cool, fun stuff with you for you guys, like going to conventions and that sort of tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Johnny, where can they find you?
Instagram, Twitter, Johnny Podorf on Facebook. Pretty much can see everything's linked together.
Yeah. So, I'm Brian Tudor on everything. Again, you can come to the website and links to all our stuff. Definitely check out the show notes this week. There's a great history that we wrote for the episode and characters and things like that. And don't forget to watch that super trailer from Rogue One.
If there's something you want to hear about, you want us to talk about, let us know.
Yep. Contact at infamouspodcast.com. All right, guys. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is you're listening to this.
Ooh, ooh. Perfect ending.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.